Today on Real Radio.
The great Bertrand Russell crying on his deathbed, hopeless, because he was an atheist, he thought. Scared of death. What about Charles Darwin in 1889? His friend said that he was filled with fear of dying. And just before his death, he grabbed his bed and he said, "I'm not afraid to die." Hey, that sounds like a man who's afraid to die.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We begin now looking at the first chapter of the second letter to Timothy, and much like the first, it contains warnings as well as encouragements. In the opening words, Paul declares that he himself has been called as a servant to the Almighty. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Thanks to the Servant.
2 Timothy chapter 1. As we go into this study of the second epistle that Paul has penned to dear Timothy, his son in the faith, a couple of things concerning the background of this study. If you're taking notes, listen up, and we'll go through these quickly to get into the meat this morning of what the Spirit would have for us. In this time of writing of Paul. Now, it may not hit you as it has hit me. I've spent time in this message. And I tell you, my heart was moved, and I pray that the Lord will move your heart. As this second epistle is penned by Timothy, please catch in mind here one important fact. Last week, we ended 1 Timothy for 3 years, plus or minus a little bit. Paul had been freed. After Timothy, the first epistle, chapter 6, Paul was released, and he visited towns Miletus, he visited Corinth, he visited Troas, and then while in Ephesus visiting with Timothy, he's rearrested by the Roman guards, and then he is carted off to Rome. Now listen, if you remember, if you were paying attention in 1 Timothy, you sensed Paul's writing to Timothy, encouraging him and strengthening him in the ways of conducting the church, the rules and the guidelines of a healthy body that we find applicable to this church. He's reunited with young Timothy. They love each other. The aged pastor, apostle, now to the young minister, and they're no doubt communing together, they're enjoying each other. Timothy has got a list of questions to ask Pastor Paul. And they're communing, they're enjoying themselves one with another in the Lord, as it ought to be. But something happens. During that time of Paul's freedom, Rome begins to burn under the insane jurisdiction of Nero. And you know all about Nero. Naked, riding in his chariot, burning Christians in his garden for lanterns. And when Rome catches fire, the rebuttal of the Roman kingdom is so pronounced against Nero that he turns and blames the whole shenanigans on the Christians. Well, Paul had made such a dent in the Roman world that if they were going to go after Christians, they would definitely have to make Paul an example. And they arrested Paul. And so he's led off to Rome. And please, don't let your heart this morning be so caught up in our own comfort zone not to grasp this. This is an ancient man of God, a powerful man of God. He is now in the Mamertine prison under Rome. He's about 12 feet or so down, sitting on cold stone. Above him is a hole, much like a sewer lid that we have in our streets today. And it's got grids going perpendicular to each other, like a cage of an animal at the top. No sunlight, nothing. And they would let food down from those openings and water to dear Paul. And this Mamertine prison was constantly in a state of lulling and of sound as running water is flowing by out just outside a massive steel gate or wall. But it's not a river of water. It's a river of raw sewage of Rome. And he could hear it round the clock. You see, the custom was in those days, as you put a man to prison, when his time was up, you would simply turn these massive wheels and slide that door back and flood the cells with raw sewage, up to about 10 feet. High enough to drown a man, but not high enough for him to grab onto the girds there, the grating. And as the people there would tread sewage, they would finally succumb and drown in the sewage of Rome. They would then evacuate the cell and throw the bodies away. And here is the saint of God. No man has ever lived like Paul. And he's there. The stench of sewage hanging on the walls. It's cold, rat-infested, according to historians. And we don't want to talk about things like that this morning. We want it nice and easy. Listen, people. It's the truth. And the truth of the matter is, dear Luke has got his ear to the grid with a quill, and he's writing 2 Timothy. And Paul is looking up, and he's saying, Luke, tell Timothy not to be fearful, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of love and of a sound mind. Catch now the arena in which this epistle is penned. It's Paul's last writing before that lofty head of his is cut off of a scar, bruised, beaten body. He's a Christian, par excellence, a Christian Maximus. And he's now moments away from his death, as we read about this man, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says there, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul pens this incredible message. The news of Nero is pervading the countryside. He's killing Christians by the thousands and ultimately by the millions. And I wonder, many people have fled. 2 Timothy is penned in the state of apostasy, which means many people were departing from the faith. They were giving up on Christianity. They were walking out. And I wonder if Paul wasn't sitting there thinking, is it going to die out? Some 30 years had passed in his ministry. Is he thinking, could it be over? Certainly the Lord's coming back soon. And I think personally, because it's true in my heart, as I began to get inside the skin of Paul, what words bring to us comfort this morning? Do these words mean anything to you when Jesus said, Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Did those words come to Paul? I think they did. I think the Holy Spirit spoke them to Paul. Paul, remember, when you're talking to Peter a couple years ago, he said that Jesus had told him that the gates of hell would not prevail. Paul, do you remember? And I remember. His heart is broken. He's a true pastor. It's torn. And he's giving Timothy encouragement. What a man of God. And we'll understand this, I think, much more. Paul is near his death. And if you are a Christian at all and you've been walking with the Lord at all, don't you want to go out with a flare? I mean, without any carnality attached to it, don't you want to go out like in a burning whirlwind chariot like Elijah did? I mean, come on, isn't that what you want? Oh God, if I don't want to get hit by a Mack truck, I want to get hit witnessing and people are repenting and coming to know Christ. You know, I don't want to die in some dark, dreary dungeon somewhere. I want to flame out for God. I want to make a statement in my death. If we live for Christ, maybe the time will come when we'll die for him also. And my heart thinks of a man by the name of Robert Bolton. In the year 1631, he yielded his spirit unto God, and all of his friends were gathered around, and they're all crying and weeping. He was a pastor of the local community there. And he said in his old English, "Oh, how much ado there is before one can die." The narrator goes on to say, "As the moment of his departure came nigh, he shook the hands of all those around his bed." Could you see that? "I'm dying. Let me shake your hand." He's saying goodbye to them all. And he says this to them, his flock, "Make sure of heaven. Keep in mind what I have formerly delivered unto you, the doctrine which I've preached to you for the space of some 20 years now. Keep the truth of God, as I shall answer at the tribunal of Christ, before whom I must soon appear," he says valiantly. As he spoke, obviously the pains of death came upon him as those looked on, and a friend took his hand and said, "Do you feel much pain?" And Bolton replied, "Truly, no. The greatest pain I feel right now is how cold your hand is." I love that. He's going to die, and he knows it. And yet there's that surety that he's going to be with Christ. To even be a little flippant about it right to the end. Paul is in a cell. He's going to be dying. And some of us are so scared of death. We are so paranoid of death. But I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ has come to take away the sting of death, the pain of death. Jesus said that we'll be with him forevermore, that this life is perishing and fading away. Now, Paul has these beautiful words in his dying letter. Robert Bolton has his words. The great Bertrand Russell crying on his deathbed, hopeless, because he was an atheist, he thought, scared of death. What about Charles Darwin in 1889? His friend said that he was filled with fear of dying. And just before his death, he grabbed his bed and he said, "I'm not afraid to die." Hey, that sounds like a man who's afraid to die. Charles Darwin died in great fear and agony. Without Christ, it's a hopeless world. Paul has hope. He has a lot of hope. And I understand this morning that if you're visiting, we welcome you here. But I tell you what, this is the word of God to us. The Lord has spoken. In this world, negative things as we view them will come into our lives. Do you have the Bible to stand on this morning? Is it the word of God we're standing on? I know it's not popular to even say and talk of messages. We don't go through topical message. We go verse by verse. We come to a time of dying here. We will address it. But J. Vernon McGee says something, that this day of entertainment, really, to people in churches, he says there are preacherettes preaching sermonettes to Christianettes. And it's true. Just make me feel good, man. Don't talk about negative stuff. Give me something positive. There's nothing more positive than to be on your deathbed and have the peace of God flooding your heart and knowing that you're going on to glory any moment. Or when your car stalls on that train track and that horn's blowing and you can't get the door open. Heavenly Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, you know. Praise God. We're going to go to glory. We've been studying heaven on Wednesday nights. Praise the Lord. We're going to glory. It's good news. Paul's got that hope. Now he says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, a sent one, a messenger of Jesus Christ. Here in parentheses, if I were you, I would put by the will of God. Beautiful words. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. First of all, in verse 1, Paul says something that he is grateful to say. In 1 Timothy, he doesn't say by the will of God he is an apostle. He says by the commandment of God. And now he just says by the will of God. He's been seasoned in the ministry. Before it was a commandment. Oh, I've got to do my Christian duty. I've got to fulfill my apostleship. Hey, the apostleship has been fulfilled. He's ready to punch out. And he leans back on the will of God. He says, I've been won by the will of God. You may be a drywall worker this morning by the will of God. You may be an accountant by the will of God. Listen, you may be unemployed by the will of God. God is working in our lives. Are you yielded? God is working. He's working in our lives. We are what we are this morning by the will of God. Paul says, to the promise of life in Jesus Christ. He is an apostle by the will of God, according or in harmony or in symphony to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, this is critical. Don't miss this, and I hope I bring it across. He's dying. He says, I am what I am by the will of God, and he says, to the promise of life. Paul, wait a minute, man. You got your yarmulke on backwards. You've got your shirt on backwards, Paul. You're dying, man. Your head's going to roll in a moment. To the promise of life? That's exactly what he means. To the promise of life. Listen, have you ever been in a critical state? Has a doctor ever come up to you and said something that causes great question to come into your mind? We had a woman last week. Her whole family's been riddled with cancer. She goes in for a checkup, they find something, immediately, boom, because of her background, they begin to open her up. Things happening so fast, she didn't know what was happening, man. But you know what? She had the Bible. And her husband told me, I've never seen more peace on a person in all my life. I couldn't believe she had it in her. All of a sudden, when she came into that critical state, the Word of God came out of her life. I didn't even know it was there. And she was at total comfort and peace. The promise of life. And by the grace of God, she came out on top, no cancer, free. And she said, you know, she met me in the parking lot. She said, you know, I'm glad, I'm grateful. It really didn't matter after a while. I knew I was his. Isn't that precious? That's victory. That's power. The promise of life. Do you have the promise of life in your heart today? You may be saying, I don't need it, man. The bankroll's going. The car's running good. We're just about ready to take off on vacation. I've got the promise of life. I got a bonus. And the Lord says, oh, today thy soul shall be required of thee. Do you have that peace? Should your number or my number come up today? We're going to glory, man. He has the promise of life. And yet he's on the way out. The promise of life, this word in the Greek is epagilia. In the Greek, it means a pledge. I've got the pledge of life. Isn't that precious? I got the pledge of life. Oh, really, Paul? He goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, and that's the key. Look, If I come up to you today and I say, here's my keys. These keys are to a 4,000 square foot house on the Back Bay, Newport. You'd say, really? Paid that well, huh? No, it was inherited, you know, and here it is. No way. I don't believe you, Jack, but if somebody comes up in a big stretch limo and has all the trappings of wealth and says, I've got the keys to the big house, you'll believe them, won't you? I'm a pauper. I'm nothing. I can't fulfill that. If I say to you, I'll give you everything I have, you say, Jack, big deal. But if Donald Trump comes up and says, I'll give you everything I have, know that he's lying. No. But if you have the power to fulfill the promise, that's something. And when that person comes and pledges to you the gift, then you better sit up. And you'd be a fool not to take advantage. Jesus speaks to Paul in Christ Jesus and pledges life. Now, when did that happen? Where is this pledge? Where is this promise? In John chapter 11, starting at verse 23, the Bible tells us, Jesus said to Martha, remember this? Oh, Martha, your brother will rise again because Lazarus had died. Martha said to him, oh, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And you can hear that far away day. And Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And just a moment or two after that, her brother came out of the ground because Jesus called him forth. That is a pledge that if you die believing in Jesus Christ, you will have life. That's the pledge of John 11. That's the pledge. That's the promise. Abraham was given a promise in Genesis 15:1. The Bible says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And then God went on to do a covenant with Abraham of salvation. Abraham's got everything set up, all the sacrifice to make the salvation offering, and Abraham falls asleep, out like a light. And God says, that's just the way I want it, because it's between me and myself. Read Genesis 15. The great commitment that Jesus Christ has made. He's pledged us eternal life. Salvation is of God, not of men.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the first few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. In fact, that means we've just now gotten underway with the second of two letters written by the Apostle Paul to the young pastor. It's a presentation called Thanks to the Servant, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO. We've made it easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll learn of just about everything that relates to this radio broadcast, events, offers, where Real Radio is heard, even links to other ministries that share our vision, and a lot more. realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.